I wonder how good you are at keeping a secret. When you hear really exciting news, are you good at keeping it to yourself? Or do you end up leaking the message out? Now, last week I received an interesting email that came with the title in bold capital letters, Strictly Confidential. Now, I don't know what happens to you when you receive an email with that title, but my heart dropped. What had happened? What had gone wrong? It got worse because when you opened this email, it then said, scroll down only if you are on your own. And then I had to keep scrolling down until I saw the message. We have appointed a new bishop according to royal approval. And are you free to have a video call with them on the day of the announcement? But you must not tell anyone or say anything until the formal announcement comes out from Downing Street. But keep Thursday afternoon free until we confirm a time. Now, that was a fun secret to know, but it was a difficult secret to keep as clergy colleagues began speculating over the past week about when the new bishop would be announced, since we'd all been told it would be before the end of December. And hopefully you've seen, don't worry, I'm not revealing secret information, the Bishop of Chelmsford, our new bishop, was announced on Thursday. Bishop Gooley will be joining us as the Bishop of Chelmsford at some point in 2021. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I find it quite easy to keep bad news to myself. But when it's exciting and good and fun, you know it can be more difficult. We want to share the joy with people. We want to pass a smile on, don't we? You know, there's great joy in the sharing of fantastic news. I'm also wondering a second thing this morning though, and that is, how good are you at catching on to things? When you maybe watch a thriller on TV, or when we used to go to the cinema, if you can remember what that is, do you guess where the plot is going before it happens? Are you among the first to figure it out? Perhaps who the crook or the villain is, or who the person the mystery revolves around. And when you figure it out, do you find the need to spoil it for others? Do you point it out? Or is it only at the end of the programme do you say, oh, I knew who it was from this point in the story? When someone tells a riddle or a joke, do you always understand it? Or are you trying to figure it out for a while afterwards? Does someone need to explain to you what it really means? How might we be people this Christmas time who pass on the good news that we have received? In a world of riddles and confusion, of a search for answers to questions, will we be people who bring people's attention to the fact the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, has come close? You know, in the run-up to Christmas this year, we've been looking at the lives of some of the key characters who shape the Christmas story. We started, didn't we, with Elizabeth and with Zechariah, their faithfulness to God despite their personal burden. And then Mary with her faithful obedience, her yes that changed the whole of history. And then last week, Carol focused us in on Joseph, his steadfastness, his ability to trust what God said, and his recognition that he too had a part to play in God's plan. Today I want to bring our attention to two groups of people, the angels who sing of the news to the story, the messengers, the carriers of purpose and of joy, but also the innkeepers, or the people of Bethlehem, who completely miss out on what was unfolding in their city that very first Christmas. People perhaps distracted by busyness, or perhaps too hung up on their judgments or own cares, to welcome in a pregnant woman and her soon-to-be husband in what was Joseph's home town. In the short reading I read from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Paul said that the mysteries of God in Jesus had been revealed, The things the prophets promised would happen have been known in the coming of Jesus Christ. The sad reality is that Bethlehem slept through it. Today, we will hear the unfolding of the events at the first Christmas. The question is, will we be spurred into action to make known the glory of God as the angels did? That we would be encouraged and strengthening in our walk with Jesus, but also encouraging others at this difficult end of the year? Or will we perhaps be like the innkeepers or people of Bethlehem, who were too busy or distracted to see what God was doing in their midst? This morning, I invite you to wrestle with me as we think about where we are in the story. What group might our priorities, our lives, our words, our actions show us to be part of? An innkeeper that shuts a door, or an angel that sings and testifies to the goodness of God? Now jump into the text with me. Luke writes, "In those times a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that everyone must return to their hometown to be registered." It was time for a census, for a Roman Empire to take stock of the people and the possessions they governed over. The announcement goes out and mass upheaval begins. Joseph has to travel to his hometown Bethlehem because he is of the line of King David. And he takes with him Mary, his betrothed, who is with child, God's child, with him. Now they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a journey of about 160 kilometres, 90 miles. It would have taken them at least a week, if not more, for Mary was heavily pregnant and this was a tough journey. When they got to Bethlehem, they find there is no room in any inn, no sofa offered at a relative's home, nowhere with any availability to put them up. And so Mary and Joseph end up perhaps in a stable, maybe a small cave, where Mary gives birth and lays her son in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I'm sure we're beginning to start to imagine a lovely nativity scene, perhaps like the one on our posters or now up outside the church building. There's a cute, serene shot of, I don't know, the donkey or a sheep standing by, and there's always a warm glow around people's faces. But let's not delude ourselves. This was far from an ideal situation. We need to think of an icy cold barn at best. I've been in Jerusalem and Nazareth and Bethlehem in January, and it gave Scotland a run for its money for that cold wind. There's also a stench of animals. There's also the bitter loneliness of rejection by those who were too busy or unable to see what was unfolding. Remember with me, we're in Joseph's hometown. I don't know about you, but when I travel home, there's always a bed somewhere, even if it's just a sofa at a family friend's house, a cousin down the road who can make space for a couple more. But here in a town filled of Joseph's relatives, all registering at a census, no one opens their door or their hearts to Joseph and his very pregnant Mary. The story perhaps of the couple's scandal had maybe gone ahead of them. Joseph's relatives had refused to believe Mary's nonsense about her carrying God's son and would have taken in Joseph if he'd wised up and realised Mary was making a fool of him. But then after the relatives make no room, there are also innkeepers. Now we imply this from the text because we're told there's no space at an inn. They're either perhaps fully booked or they have no interest in welcoming in a heavily pregnant woman who will either make a lot of noise and disrupt the other guests or cause a mess when she gives birth that would therefore make their inns unclean in the eyes of the Jewish laws. For whatever reason, they turn a desperate couple away. No space, no room, no warmth, no compassion. And the most important baby in all of history is born in a stable and laid in a manger for his bed. But whilst there is no inn or home opened to them, the arrival of the baby does not go unnoticed. Whilst Bethlehem sleeps through this universe-changing moment, a choir of angels erupts in their praise and wonder. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. The angels who had brought messages to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, now joined by many others as they declare to a group of shepherds in a field nearby that everything has changed. The angel offered Mary the choice to say yes. Gabriel offered Joseph the chance to stand by Mary. And now the angelic choir sing to the shepherds, encouraging them to go and see the one laid in a manger, the Lamb of God. Now next week we'll focus in more on the shepherds, but today let's gaze afresh on these angels, the bearers of the good news, the singers of hope and joy and peace. Whilst the innkeepers and people of Bethlehem slept or shut their doors, the angels sing for joy. The king of the world isn't greeted by a breaking news notification on a smartphone, nor by a royal trumpet fanfare, but instead by heaven's song that encourages the overlooked, unseen shepherds to go and see the baby, to have their lives transformed by encountering in the manger the one who holds meaning and purpose and hope for everyone and at all times. We have two different responses, innkeepers and angels. But what might God want to say to us this morning? Well, firstly, we'll do the negative first. Where are we in danger of being like the innkeepers of Bethlehem? Do we have room for Jesus and the changes he brings to our lives? A number of years ago, a Christian band called Casting Crowns, maybe some of you have heard of them, released a song that has always spoken to me quite powerfully. A song called While You Were Sleeping. Let me read some of the lyrics for you. O little town of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. Whilst you lie in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the king has left his throne and is sleeping in your manger tonight. O Bethlehem, you will go down in history as the city which had no room for its king while you were sleeping. And today, will we be too occupied with the distractions and the to-do lists we hold? Will we fail to see what God is doing amongst us? Will we allow, perhaps like the innkeepers, our preconceptions or our ideas stop us from hearing and responding to God's love? Joseph stood with Mary ready to give birth outside many doors, we imagine, and each one turned them away, not wanting the mess of a birth in their ends or wanting to embrace a scandal. Perhaps rumours had been heard about Joseph, one of their own. And they weren't ready to have their reputation marked by offering the hospitality. Maybe they just weren't moved by this couple's desperate need for shelter and a place to have a baby. Maybe today we're focused so on our needs, on what we have on store. Perhaps are we wearing blinkers to the needs of others? We've maybe got ourselves figured out for now. We're just about managing, if we're honest, to keep ourselves afloat, to keep taking one step in front of the other. But will we, in looking inwards, fail to see the needs of those around us? Will we choose not to take on the burdens of others because we don't want to get messy ourselves in the process? You know, we've heard about this Jesus. We want to be interested in him, but only if it doesn't cost us anything. We come before a God who loves us as we are. That's true. He He also loves us way too much to leave us that way. He's a God who breaks into our lives with words of do not fear, trust me, I have a plan, I am with you. But it can be, for most of us, a costly disruption. There are plans and dreams and ideas, perhaps, of what we see in our own lives that are changed by an encounter with the King of Kings. Yes, God promises us his peace and his hope and his love, but he also asks us to fix our eyes on him and not the ways of the world or the things we think might bring us happiness or reassurance or peace. But the God who disrupts, who promises transformation, also promises that we will know life in all its fullness, freedom from the past, hope for the future, the promise of his presence with us each and every day. This Christmas, will we make space for Jesus? Will we get away from the distractions, the busyness? Let us not be like the innkeepers or the people of Bethlehem who sleep through the universe-changing moments that are playing out in their city while they sleep. Because secondly, if I can be so bold, are we prepared to let the history-changing moment pass us by? Are we prepared to sacrifice our part in God's transforming rescue plan for the world? Now, Carol and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about how I was planning this preaching series and that we would do a week on innkeepers. And Carol rightly pointed out to me that the innkeepers are not mentioned in the Bible. And maybe today, that's my point. We each have a role to play in God's plan, but some of us are chasing after other things. We're too busy, we're too distracted, we're too caught up in our own tasks and purposes that we fail to see why God created us and asked us to join in with what he is doing. The reality is the innkeeper should be in the story. Can you imagine how people throughout the years would have flocked to that inn, the place where Jesus was born? The innkeeper should have a front row seat. He should have been the first person to greet the arrival of the King of Kings, the Messiah. But yet they're absent because they looked the other way and turned Mary and Joseph out into the cold. You know, the innkeeper is always a popular part in the school nativity. St. Luke's nativity they recorded this year was all about the grumpy innkeepers. It was so cute. But it's a real sadness. The good news in the nativity that the St. Luke's reception did was the innkeeper realised at the end what was going on. All of these disruptions that kept coming to his door looking for the special baby eventually led the innkeepers to go and join the party. But we don't think, there's no mention of that in the Bible story. But would it be our story that we would know that something different is going on? That we would recognise what God is doing in our midst, how he is present with us, how he calls all of us to join in with his rescue plan for this world. This Christmas, will you join in? Will you recognise God is at work? Will you make space for Jesus? Or will you be too busy to spend time in his word or in prayer? When we feel busyness creeping in, what do we sacrifice first? Is it time with God? Is it pursuing his ways? When we feel burdened, what temptations start to set in? Whose voices do we listen to? Because Mary and Joseph were no doubt plagued with rumours, which may have contributed to why some innkeepers turned them away. Will we check today whose words we listen to? Are they helping us grow in our walk with Jesus? Or do they lead us further away from the God who knows us, loves us, and has a plan for each of our lives? Let us not be like the innkeepers and miss out on having our stories as part of God's story. Will we not let busyness or distractions or rumours or blindness to what is really going on stop us from playing our parts? The innkeepers should have had a front row seat. But they miss out on being part of God's story. But rather than just tell us how not to be, why don't we see an example in the angels of how we can join in? Now, the angels are busy in the first Christmas. Gabriel, with his messages, changed the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. And now with the song to the shepherds and their encouragements throughout to trust, do not be afraid. Go and find the baby. The angels testify to the goodness and glory of God. And they change everything. They offer invitations to people to join in with God, but also to go and explore who this Jesus might be. Who today can we all be like the angels too? In our city gripped by sadness in the midst of tier four, who can we share a deep sense of hope and peace with? Not because we're okay with the tier four restrictions, I'm gutted this morning, but because we know the God who is with us and for us. When the Christmas plans we had all made get dashed, who can we share with that God is still with us? You know, the message of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Not just in the good times, but the good news of Christmas is that God comes close. He leaves the throne room of heaven to lie in a manger to declare, I'm with you. I'm standing with you. A God who knows the separation between father and son, who knows the pain of anguish and sadness. Will we share that deep set hope and peace with those around us? In a world, in a year of sadness and sorrow, who needs to be reminded that Jesus walks with us? That Jesus tells us, do not fear, not because the world isn't scary or uncertain, but because we know the one who holds the world in their hands and who promises us to never let us go. Who needs reminded that Emmanuel, God with us, is with us? Who perhaps needs an invitation to go to Bethlehem to see the one laid in a manger, who brings hope and meaning and clarity and purpose? Who this Christmas are we praying for that they would know something of the real meaning of Christmas? That their eyes would be opened to the reality of a God who loves them? When Wham or Mariah Carey just won't bring us the hope and the joy and the peace we need, will we share of the God who does this Christmas? Who will we share the news of our online services with? Who will we encourage to join in on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Who can we share that with? The angels had a message to share and they boldly did so. We carry the same message this morning. Will we share the hope of God with those around us? Will we sing of God's goodness? Will we share of the peace and the difference he makes? Will we invite those around us to come and explore, to go and see the one laid in a manger, Christ the Lord? This Christmas, who will we be like? The innkeepers turning a blind eye that shut out the needs of others because they're too busy or preoccupied, they miss what's going on? Or will we be like the angels who sing and point others to the baby who changes everything? Will we let God's opportunities to join in with his plans pass us by? Or will we share and be part of others coming to know the real joy and hope and love of Christmas? Will we bow our knees and worship the King of Kings? Or will we shut him out? Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ,